Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass.
I believe it all career.
I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call.
There are no tight butts.
Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Mully and Hanley, didn't Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. David Haw is the lead sports columnist of the Chicago Tribune. He writes the In the Wake of the News column, and always a joy to talk to David. Good morning, David. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are you doing?
You know, it's interesting. I think that we're kind of enjoying this this time in Chicago baseball, where the Cubs are more or less on a roll, and the White Sox are winning here and there, and it's been a lot better than it was earlier in the year, where the Cubs were trailing and the White Sox were just putting together new types of horror.
Man, I thought you were going to lead with the World Cup news.
If I thought there was any interest, David, I'd be happy to talk to you.
I know. We could spend the next hour.
Had the breaking news sounder. We already covered it.
Okay, yeah. That's good. That is big news. But, you know, regarding the Cubs and Sox, last night, I guess I'm a little surprised at how Tyler Chatwood seems to be, the bar keeps getting lower for him to clear. Like,
amen.
You know, I don't quite get that. I think that it's funny how this season has evolved, and you know, and I just wrote this, so I'm not going negative here. I think the Cubs are the best team in the National League, and this is going to, you know, them the last couple weeks has reasserted that. But I do believe that this Chatwood stuff is fascinating to me, because free agent pitcher, professional, you know, you have to have a higher standard than just, you know, he's not walking as many people as he did last week when he was, you know, free pass to first base. And you start, I think the context of yesterday for me is this for the Cubs. Darvish, promising, great. Give him congratulations. He got to Milwaukee, and he had a really good bullpen session. That's promising good news on the Darvish front. Chatwood wasn't very good. The context is Chatwood should be pitching for his spot in the rotation the next time out and every time out after that, because Mike Montgomery, your ace, going today, well, not the ace of John Lester, but he's certainly pitching very well, is a guy that you have to really consider, you know, challenging Chatwood for the number five spot. He deserves that. You have a bullpen that's going to is getting tired, has carried you, has been very good, but Montgomery might have more value to you in the starting rotation. So I guess I think the Cubs will probably win this series today. Chatwood has got to be better, and I think that that's sort of what you have to look at the starting rotation in kind of those terms as you wait for Darvish to return.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. We talked about the 5-5. I mean, okay, great. Two walks, five innings. It was a 3-0 count on the double for Shaw. I mean, he was just about to give him, you know, load the bases by a walk. Instead, it was even worse than that. And he seems like an earnest guy, and he seems like he knows that, you know, he's talked about the two-seamer could throw for strikes whenever he wanted. Well, he didn't, but as long as he thinks every time after a start, he thinks he knows something got better, but the results aren't better. And I'm with you. The bar can't be any lower. So 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now, when Darvish is ready to come back, we're probably having a discussion about whether Chatwood's going to the bullpen and Montgomery's fully in the rotation now.
I agree with you. And the you know, him going to the bullpen is not ideal because of his control issues, and you just don't know what you're going to get necessarily, but what else are you going to do with him? And I think if you keep on trotting him out there every fifth day because you paid him, that doesn't make a lot of sense either. you've got a guy who has tremendous stuff. But, I guess I look at it a little bit differently than some people have. You know, the fact that he has tremendous stuff is being interpreted as encouraging and promising, and they're sort of teasing you to say, okay, keep throwing him out there because of that tremendous stuff. Well, I'm thinking, well, geez, if he's got that, then show it. Then he's not really – it's even more frustrating to look at him not, being as effective as he could be. He's a terrific guy to have in the clubhouse. You know, he's a guy who fits in character-wise with this Cubs organization. But, I think the inconsistency has been maddening for people to watch, and I just don't, it wasn't, bringing him out of the Colorado altitude and a lot of the things that wasn't explained, the spring training narrative. I hope he succeeds because he's a good guy, but I just think that the Cubs can be a little bit tougher in expectations because the walks are one thing, but not getting through the fifth inning, that eventually, as we've seen, is going to take a toll on your bullpen if you continue to have starters who can't go deeper.
It's very interesting, a lot of what you're saying here, because the other element here is they might have a better option than him already in the starting rotation while Yu Darvish is hurt. And Darvish, it's good news, he's come back, and I don't think there's any way that Mike Montgomery is going to replace Yu Darvish. But, if Montgomery keeps this up, isn't it legitimate to ask, well, why are we thinking about bringing – why is Chatwood going to be in part of the rotation if indeed Mike Montgomery – and the answer is that Montgomery's so damn good out of the bullpen that his versatility becomes a problem for him as a starting pitcher because he's a much better option. You know what you're going to get with him, and they're a better team with him coming out of the bullpen than starting in place of a guy that probably can't come out of the bullpen.
It's a bigger curse and blessing for him in his career because, they value him so much – as a reliever that they're not going to pull the trigger and make him a starter, even though he has shown, in filling in for Darvish that's an exciting possibility. And, he's one of these guys that you can trust in any situation. But I think that if you're the Cubs, you've got to look at this dispassionately and underscore the fact that everything is about having a World Series or bust mentality. And they do, and I'm not really saying they don't, but I think along with that comes these difficult decisions, and replacing Tyler Chatwood or putting him on notice every time out that hey Mike, we don't want to go with the 6-man rotation. That to me is impractical. You don't want John Lester pitching every six. You don't want to do that to Lester or Hendricks or Quintana even. But I do believe that Chatwood has to have a little bit more at stake, and he can't just be a guy because we're only into mid-June now, and you can't really tolerate this if you're a championship caliber team that the Cubs are the rest of the way when you have a guy as capable of being in your rotation as Mike Montgomery has shown. Now watch, I say this and he'll get shelled today, but I do think he's a guy that you want to be able to count on. It wouldn't shock me at all if at the second half of the season, if Darvish does come back, and you have to expect that he will, that Montgomery replaces Chatwood, and Chatwood is one of these guys you start to look at and moving forward, what is his role in this team, and how much money did you waste? I hope I'm wrong, but it's certainly trending that way.
I get what Ricky Renteria is trying to do. He's Joe Madden-like when he's trying to have the players back, but really trying to run interference for Yoan Moncada and saying he's being squeezed when you have a 37-38% strikeout rate from your good side and 32% from the other side. I mean, you're striking out way too much. I much preferred to hear Todd Steverson say, well, at least his strikeouts are north-south, not east-west. At least he has an idea on the lanes of the pitches, and we can make adjustments here. But, it's got to be better, certainly from the right side. Everything's pretty good on the left side, but probably – Given what you gave up for him, probably needs to take up a notch there as well. But I don't think Rick should be talking about umpires when the guy obviously has some holes in his swing.
Brian, you've got a guy in Rick Renteria who has said everything right in terms of the development and sort of the emotional maturity and maturation of this young team, and he's there. That's why he's there. He's there to be the guy who says the right things and handles the intangible part of the growth of this young White Sox team and all these prospects. But, boy, did he make a big mistake yesterday, I think, or Monday night. that's not helping Yoan Moncada at all, to put a target on his back and to make him the guy that umpires are watching, and everybody now is looking at his reactions next time he gets punched out. I don't see any value in that. I don't understand the logic there. I guess I get to a point trying to defend your player, but publicly putting everybody on notice that this is the guy that's getting squeezed doesn't do him any favors, because I just think now he's under more of a microscope, and you know, you've got a guy whose development is essential to this rebuild, and a guy who's at the center of it. And now, you know, he's got enough things to measure without adding this to the list. So I think that was a miscalculation by the White Sox and Renteria, who's done a terrific job, in my mind, of doing everything else right and sort of kind of raising this young team. But this was not a good step.
David, you write today about Hunter Johnson, the new transfer quarterback for Northwestern. He is a five-star recruit who transferred from Clemson, so he'll sit out this season and then be able to slide in. And this was a very highly recruited player from a top program. And, you know, we've talked about this idea that Northwestern, with the new practice facility, that is such a huge thing and a great tool for recruiting. But it's interesting to see a player of this caliber come to Northwestern, and, you know, who knows? Who knows how important this is going to be moving forward?
It's great to talk about college football in June, but I think that you're right, Molly. There's no way to really quantify this because he is a year away. But what it does is it's consistent with the direction this program seems to be headed. After a 10-win season, you know, the momentum is there. The indoor facility creates momentum. A guy like this becomes sort of like the Pied Piper in recruiting. You know that it gives you legitimacy with other recruits who might be five-star wide receivers, five-star left tackles, guys who you may have lost before to Michigan or Ohio State. You know, Hunter Johnson may not be the guy that pans out. There have been more countless examples of guys who in college football have been highly recruited and been duds. But gives you a shot. You know, he gives you a shot to succeed Clayton Thorson after next year. He gives you a shot to build your recruiting class next year to build around this guy. Northwestern's got a lot of momentum going right now. And, it doesn't happen every day. I had to go back and talk to Zach Kustak, the last, you know, guy who left a pretty good program with a national profile 20 years ago when he left Notre Dame for Northwestern, and look how that turned out. A lot of pressure to put on the kid, but when you're the number one, you know, or top five recruit quarterback in the country, you're used to handling that pressure. So I think he can. And, Northwestern definitely arrow pointing up. A lot of enthusiasm around the program right now.
All right, David, thank you, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, David Hoff, from the Chicago Tribune, the In the Wake of the News columnist.
And this segment of the show and this hour in score brought to us by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
312-644-6767. We're going to give you a perspective from Milwaukee in a little bit. We'll talk to our buddy Doug Russell up there, and how are the Brewers looking at this series, and how important is this for the Cubs to get this one this afternoon and to just continue to dominate their pesky northern neighbor who right now sits a half game ahead of them heading into this afternoon's game. Molly and Hanley on the score.
We'll take some questions.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 the score. I'm really looking forward to our Screamers and Howlers podcast today. We are doing it early to get to all the betting props for the World Cup, which starts on Thursday. We're going to talk to Joe O. He will join us.
Did he have any demands for the green room? Did any kind of special sandwiches? Or
I've got to pick through the M&Ms.
Sure.
Just make sure.
Get all
that goes unsaid.
The colored M&Ms out of there that Joe doesn't like.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I read somewhere that idea of the M&Ms and all that stuff, that apparently when you are signing, if you're a rock band and you're signing a contract, there were so many things in it, the rider, that what you want is, like, you'll throw something like that in there because you can see right away whether that's been...
You walk in there and you see, okay, I said no brown M&Ms. If that's taken care of, then you know all the other stuff was taken care
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
Right? They read all the way through it and they...
That's the idea.
If they executed that one, it's not necessarily... Yeah. Then you can say we're good to go.
But, Brian, you might want to listen to the Screamers and Hollers podcast because there will be betting opportunities in the World Cup. There's
I was
always
asking
great ones.
Z, what, you know, where's the value here? Help a guy out who wants to watch the World Cup.
I was talking to my brother.
Listen to the podcast to find out.
My brother was saying they have a bet in England that you can make with the bookies. My brother lives in England, and he's making this wager. So it's like
Loyola money. He's flush.
It's exactly right. It's like best and worst. So you can pick one team to win it and one team to be the like absolutely winless and the worst team ever.
The United States.
You can go for winless. Hey, there is a bet. There is a prop bet out there. Who scores more goals in the World Cup, Panama or the United States? And of course, the United States
is not in it.
So if Panama fails to score more than the United States, they don't score a goal in the World Cup, you win that bet, right? So the bet is really, will Panama score a goal? I would say if I were a betting man, I would think that Saudi Arabia is not going to score a goal. You got to look at the groups and how it's going to finish. What's going to happen is there will be some surprises, but this thing should play to form. And if that happens, once you get to the knockout stage, it's going to be sensational.
We're in the 2026, though, World Cup, right? By virtue.
And they announced that today that the United States...
You get an automatic bid for the host?
Along with... that's true. Yeah, you do. So I guess, does that mean all three? The United 2026, as we're calling it, Mexico, the U.S., and Canada? Interesting. Are we United 2018? Maybe not. But 2026 will be United.
Okay.
At least in soccer.
Will United be the official airline of the 2026?
I think Man United will be the official team of this and every year. Yeah, there we go. Even though they're not, don't get me going. But anyway, keep an eye out. We'll tweet it out later today. Where do we tweet it again, Kevin?
Of course, that is at Screamer Howler on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Screamer Howler on Twitter.
And how do you contact us via email?
Electronic mail is a way to contact us. That would be Screamers Howlers.
Yeah, see.
And this is where you say,
and this is where
faulty
where
parallelism.
Get, yeah, you get flustered.
Well, it just it does.
Hey, Pobity's nerfect, all right?
Oh, boy.
It's a character issue.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Larry's on the road. Good morning, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Living the dream, buddy.
Great. Hey, listen, I just wanted to call in. I normally have a lot of respect. I do a lot of reading of David Haugh, but I really don't think he did his research today. I mean, the last time that Mike Montgomery started against the Brewers, I believe, was in September last year. It's a meaningful game. It was on a Saturday, packed house at Wrigley. A beautiful day. I was at the game with my daughter, and the Brewers dropped like 8 on him in the first 3 innings and won 12-4. So, he was on a roll then, I think, and there was like a controversy over whether or not he'd start or not, and he crapped his pants, you know, in Wrigley Field in the middle of September last year.
Well, here's hoping that he atones for that tonight, and it's not September baseball. I get it.
Are we allowed to say that on the radio? Do we want that in a family show such as ours? I understand it happens.
What, drop an 8 spot?
Yeah.
That's allowed.
I didn't know.
I mean, I could still hit the button if we still have time.
I mean, it used to be a very popular segment on this station.
Yeah.
Whose pants are you? What?
In so many words.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, not.
Because the coach gave us the soundbite.
It was my understanding that you could mention, you know, different words, but not different acts. And that would seemingly the usage of the word because it's an active usage.
Maybe we should play it back and let people decide, since we're putting this much attention on it.
As an aperitif.
I stopped listening to his point when he got to that. I don't know why. Just say it. Oh, here we go. Someone else is upset
Mitch
about
just called.
It.
Who you crapping?
There you go.
Okay.
Came right out of the archives.
Hello,
morning, the score.
Hey,
we're playing score all over?
Yeah.
Forgot to turn his mic. A look that behind the curtain.
That would be a better segment than anything we're going to talk about.
Pull up to the next window and pick up your order and pay there.
You arguing over the behind the glass. Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
I don't want to put too much on Mike Montgomery, but I think he's exceeded my expectations for him. He's done very well, and it's been one of the keys to the current run, which is without you, Darvish, you've got a guy there that can fit into the starting rotation, and I didn't want to say possibly, and be better than another guy in that rotation, right? So, you know, you, Darvish, wasn't giving you as much as Mike Montgomery has to begin with.
No.
And showing up. And Tyler Chatwood isn't giving you as much as he does either. Oh. So Mike Montgomery is looking pretty good right now. Now, again, there's a game today, and if indeed he has an issue with the Brewers that gives him some sort of...
Don't say it.
Yeah. This is where you get into trouble.
Yeah.
Well, the other way around. A lack of incontinence.
That's right. He's very continent.
Yeah. I don't know, Joe. You can beat a metaphor to death, but the fact of the matter is that I don't sense that Mike Montgomery is too overwhelmed by the Brewers. Do you?
No, and I wouldn't put too much into one start that the guy just happened to attend.
You never know.
Yeah.
So now he's bad because the one day I went and saw him, it was really bad.
I was going to say, Madison Bumgarner got run and then run yesterday, the other day, right? Even the great ones have issues. I know. Poor choice of word. Yeah.
Jesus.
The Cubs get no one.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Doug Russell joins us on the CDW hotline. CDW making IT solutions work for you. Orchestration by CDW. CDW, people who get it. And Doug is... fine anchor reporter at WTMJ in Milwaukee and a good friend of the program. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. And just curious as to, we go into this series and it looks like the Cubs have a chance to take first place, and they do so in the first game, and then Milwaukee grabs it back. How is this all playing in Milwaukee, this idea that the Cubs are in their heads and winning all these games, 8 of 9. Now it's 8 of 10, with another game yet here today, this afternoon.
Well, Brewers fans should know that the Cubs are a great team and have been a great team for the last several years. I mean, they won the World Series, of course, a couple of years ago. You don't do that on accident. You don't fall into a World Series championship. You don't win the division, 3 years in a row now, by just kind of doing that on accident. So Brewers fans should be steeled to the knowledge that the Cubs are a quality team and have been a quality team for a number of years now. The Brewers have been in first place, or up until, well, I guess they've reclaimed it now after last night's win, but up until Monday, they had been in first place, either tied or alone, for almost a month. So this has been kind of the year that Brewers fans have pointed to, saying the rebuild may be close to complete, and this is a team that has more depth than maybe we've seen in a generation on this club. I don't know that they're going to have 7 all-stars or anything like that, but they should have a couple of guys that will definitely be in the mix for maybe some Cy Young consideration. I'm not saying that Josh Hader is going to win the Cy Young Award, but for a while nobody was able to hit this guy, and games were being ended after, say, the 6th inning or so, because the Brewers bullpen up until a couple of days ago had been so dominant. So Brewers fans are pretty juiced about the prospects for this year's team, but having never won a World Series, and I think you guys in Chicago can probably at least on some level relate to this, you don't take anything for granted until the final out in the World Series is clinched, and the Brewers and their fans have never experienced that.
Well, that said, Doug, how aggressive will the Brewers front office be as you get closer to the trade deadline? Because it seemed like last year, even when arguably ahead of schedule, it seemed like they were in the conversation with everyone from Quintana to Gray to any pitcher that was being talked about being dealt. They seemed to be in there. Then even in the offseason, that they're supposedly going to get Yu Darvish, or at least were interested. But when do they pull a trigger? How convinced does the front office have to be on a team that's already got 40 wins in the bank, even given the struggles with the Cubs?
they've had some success in years past. And it doesn't seem like it's been 10 years ago, but it was 10 years ago when the Brewers shocked all of baseball by pulling the trigger on CC Sabathia and bringing him in when just about every contender in the game wanted to bring in the big left-hander from Cleveland. Now, ultimately, of course, went to the Yankees after his short stint with the Brewers, but pitched them into the playoffs in 2008. So this is a team and at least an ownership group that has seen how pulling the trigger can work. If there's an opportunity for now general manager David Stearns to find a guy that fits what his plan is. I mean, he's a high analytics guy. He's the youngest general manager in baseball. He's pulled off a lot of shrewd moves that kind of left us scratching our heads at the time, but have panned out. If there's that opportunity to bring a guy in that doesn't break the bank, the Brewers will be aggressive in doing it. Mark Adonasio, the team's owner, has said on numerous occasions, if that opportunity is there, David Stearns has ultimate authority in doing that. The Brewers farm system is relatively deep right now, so if there is that opportunity, I would expect the Brewers absolutely to be a player for somebody who could help them either in the starting rotation or maybe with positional depth.
Yolis Chacin is on the bump this afternoon for the Brewers, and this is a guy that is a bit of a talisman, if you will, for the organization. They've won 11 of his 14 starts. Pretty good.
Yeah, he's one of those moves that when David Stearns pulled the trigger on kind of what I was talking about a couple of minutes ago, that Brewers fans were like, okay, I mean, he's been mostly a 500 pitcher throughout the course of his career. But again, it's this advanced analytics that something in the Brewers front office said, this is somebody who can pitch well at Miller Park. Now, he pitched well in San Diego, but that's a pitcher's ballpark, right? Miller Park, not necessarily known as a great pitcher's ballpark, but Chacin has done really, really well so far with Milwaukee this season. 5-1 with an ERA hovering around 3.5. He's been everything and more than the Brewers had hoped that he would be. He's one of those guys that isn't going to make a lot of headlines. He's not going to be an all-star this year, I can't imagine, but he's just one of those guys that at the back end of your rotation gives you a solid 4 or 5 option who can give you 6 innings on any given night. And that's what he's done all season long, and the Brewers hope that that continues.
Josh Hader, as you mentioned, is just, I mean, until the other night, 21-0 when he got into a game. How surprised are you that he's had the successes he had? And when you're bringing him in now on a regular basis, getting more than one out or one inning work from him, and you're starting to bring him in earlier and earlier, you know, how concerned might you be moving forward that that arm's going to have a lot of miles on it come September?
Yeah, there's been a debate over the last several years as to whether or not Josh would be better suited as a starting pitcher or as maybe this closer in waiting. Now, the Brewers' lone all-star a year ago was Corey Knable, their all-star closer, and he was injured for a good 6 weeks earlier this season, and it was kind of a closer by committee. Jeremy Jeffress had a couple of opportunities to close out a couple of games, but then you had these 2- and 3-inning saves from Josh Hader. And he's a guy who can stretch out for a couple of innings. I'm not surprised that he's had success. I guess I think all of baseball may be a little bit surprised at the amount of success
right
that Josh Hader has had this season, but I don't have any concerns as of yet, because one thing that Craig Counsell has been really good at so far is kind of managing how his bullpen is used. And hopefully that will continue for the Brewers. But that bullpen, it's got more innings than any other bullpen in the majors right now. So there has to be a little bit of concern, I guess, especially going into the stretch where they only have one off day in 3 weeks.
Is there any psychological impact from having lost as many games to the Cubs this year? I mean, you know, we always talk about this kind of stuff, and I just don't know how legitimate it is.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I mean, 1-8 before last night's game, now 2-8 on the season. Certainly, when you go to games at Miller Park against the Cubs, it doesn't necessarily feel like a home game for Brewers fans,
right?
And I know that that's stuck in Brewers fans' craw, but you know what? I don't know what else the Brewers can do to try to make their own home fans keep their own tickets for the games at Miller Park. But nevertheless, I think that any time you do have that much a lack of success, I guess, against a team, it has to creep into your minds a little bit. Certainly, I think you saw maybe some of that on Monday night when they had a game, ostensibly, I wouldn't say won, it was a close game in the later innings, and then ultimately the Cubs won it in extras, but they just fell apart in extra innings against a team that they haven't had any success against this year. So has it crept into the minds of the players? Probably at least a little bit. I think that's probably human nature, but there's still about 9 games left to play between these two teams. So hopefully for Brewers fans and the team and the players, they can turn that around and turn a negative into a positive.
All righty, Doug. Thanks, buddy. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Molly Hanley, you guys are the best. Thanks so much for having me on.
Doug.
Appreciate it.
All right, pal. That is Doug Russell. Used to work with him at Sporting News Radio.
I interned at WTMJ back in college.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Well, they weren't paying me. I had to go back to school. It was an unpaid internship.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Can you take the bowling scores? Yeah. Okay, I could do that. I did that at the Sentinel, too.
I did that at the Sun-Times?
Yeah. I got paid there.
Beat the champs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there was money involved.
Yeah.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
What's up, babes? My teammates love it, babes. You know, like, Holt threw me under the bus. Under the train, actually. Look at this. Look at this people who's here. You know, like, you thought it's going to be crazy, but it's basically nuts.
That was a cleaned up version. Ovechkin is, he's on the loose, isn't he? And how would you describe it? He's just shot out of a cannon.
Seemed sober yesterday. He's more sober than we've seen in the last few days, anyway.
What a Stanley Cup champion!
Well, maybe not. Maybe he had a few.
I don't know. I think it's...
Yeah!
Hmm. Drinking the Bud Light through the hockey sweater pulled over your head?
Yes.
Oshie, I believe, did that.
Filtered,
that's a trick that maybe...
That's filtered.
I don't know if I try to do that on some time off this summer.
You know what they need to do?
Saturday or something?
And I wonder...
96 degrees?
I wonder if he's doing this. I wonder if he's drinking this summer, or not just one bus ride, but I wonder if he's drinking $500,000 worth of Bud Light. Isn't that the dream, Dustin?
Because you said, what, the Warriors, Golden State Warriors?
The Warriors had $500,000 worth of booze on their bus. They sprayed on people.
$500,000 worth of booze, champagne, couple hundred bottles.
Again,
$200 a
can't
bottle.
Can't you get the bad champagne to spray on people and then drink the good stuff?
Well, if you have that kind of money.
Just insane.
I did see some of the Weeping Rodman interview with Chris Cuomo. I just, on the, oh, on,
was
on
that
the highlights,
just, that was just...
It was unsettling.
I mean,
it's amazing when I said those things. When I said those damn things, when I went back home, I got so many death threats. I got so many death threats when I was sitting there protecting everything.
Wow.
And I believed in North Korea. And when I went home, I couldn't even go home. I couldn't even go home. I had to hide out for 30 days. I couldn't even go home.
Someone
but I kept
drinking.
My head up high, brother. I knew things were going to change. I knew it. I was the only one. I never had no one to hear me. I didn't know how to see me. But I took those bullets. I took all that. I took everything. Everyone came at me, and I'm still standing. And today is a great day for everybody. Singapore, Tokyo, China, everything. It's a great day.
Great day for Singapore.
It is a great
I'm
day.
I'm here to
this
see
This is
it.
A historic day.
I'm so happy.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, you talk about a life that took many turns.
Makes me feel very uncomfortable.
He's wearing a T-shirt for, like, whatever the news Bitcoin is, so he's got his paid...
Potcoin.
Potcoin.
Yeah.
Potcoin.
Mm.
You talk about a guy, I mean...
I just worry, I mean, he's so emotionally...
Hey, he was a guy who
overwrought.
Was outside, who was outside the Palace of Auburn Hills with a gun
right.
in his
that's
car,
years
right?
Ago.
I mean, how many years ago? But just every
there's a story to that too.
Boy, that was just so pathetic to have to, and
do you remember that whole story?
Chris Cuomo he's making a meal out of that too, wasn't he? Just let him go because.
Well, I think he was trying to interview him at one point. And then he kind of just fell apart. It was unsettling to watch it. Even like on highlights, it was like somebody. Go talk to him.
And apparently one pot coin is worth about 8 cents right now.
Well, you got to crawl before you can walk.
Crypto market.
Yeah.
So probably invest now? Buy low?
Oh, yeah.
Buy low,
yeah.
Sell high?
If Dennis Rodman's pushing it, you want to follow that lead. Yeah, that makes all...
You might never know.
You might not have 8 cents.
Let's get to John. John's in the western suburbs. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
You know, I watched the Cub game last night, and I called in yesterday, and I heard you guys saying the Cubs should run with it. I look at this as being, it's June. I mean, the Cubs last year didn't run with first place until after the All-Star break when they caught the Brewers and passed them. I look at it like that again this year. I mean, if they're probably going to be in a better position this year at the All-Star break than they were last year as far as the division goes.
Right.
I don't see, you know, I mean, the Cardinals are going to give them trouble. You know that. Last time they were in Busch, it was a nightmare. And, you know, they're trying to get their rotation in order now. So, I don't, you know, it's going to be interesting. I don't see them taking over first place for good until they figure out what they're going to do with Chatwood and, you know, $126 million man, if he comes around or not. You don't know.
And Theo talked about it yesterday when he was up there watching the bullpen session for Yu Darvish. Talked about still the state of the team and that they're not sure exactly what they need. They know that they're going to need something eventually. But, you know, a few weeks ago when Theo talked with us, Mully, he talked about the team still not knowing its identity and whether you're going to be buyers, sellers. They hadn't earned the right to polish an October roster, as he said. But now you feel in a much better place, and I'm sure they do as well, that they're just going to figure out, okay, what exactly do we need as we move forward and closer to the trade deadline?
You know, here's the thing, though. You know, don't worry about the Cubs because they'll eventually get there. It feels like they could get there anytime they wanted to.
Yes.
Why not just get there? Why not just, you know, continue to play whatever it is, the 2 out of 3 baseball, and, you know, if you're going to just run away from everyone. It doesn't feel like it's
interesting.
You need that thing you had last year where you'd, well, there's, it, now's
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, you're heading to St. Louis, and now it's interesting because we had a texter saying, is it possible Dexter Fowler is going to be DFA'd by the weekend? And, you know, he's turned into Jason Hayward of 2 months ago or 2 years ago down there where he's going over without even getting the ball out of the infield, and they're trying to figure out exactly. And he's kind of sounded like Hayward of a few months ago that I'm trying, you know, I'm not sure, you know, I think it's getting better, trying to talk himself into something. It's interesting to see what the Cardinals are going to do moving forward because they might be the team that's, when it's all said and done, they have to deal with.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hanley on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.